Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us.
You lift me up high, you spread my wings and fly me to the sky. I feel so alive, it's like my soul thrives in your light. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, today we are going to be discussing about something that has been given a lot more hype than what it deserves. And that is the topic of homosexuality. Yes. So, in Islam, homosexuality, as you all know, is a no-go area. Okay. There is no exceptions to the rule. Okay. There are two major aspects of why we consider we Muslims, the committed Muslims, the practicing Muslims, we consider it to be illegal or prohibited according to the teachings of Islam. The first reason is very obvious, and by the way, that reason itself is good enough for us to not get indulged into this evil act. That reason is the divine commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, we being committed Muslims are okay. We have enough when we say that Allah has commanded us not to get indulged into this act. When we say Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Ahlul Bayt, they have traditions about not getting into this evil act. That's enough for us. We are committed Muslims. We don't need any other reason or any other logic to not get into this evil act of homosexuality. Okay. Now, there is another aspect which we will be discussing today, and that is the social aspect or the psychological aspect of homosexuality and this act. So, brothers and sisters, you know that the natural inclinations in any given human being is towards the opposite sex. Now, some may claim that they don't, but if you look at the statistics and if you look at, like, you do a survey, heavy majority of people are going to tell you that they have natural inclinations towards the opposite gender, right? Not the same gender. So that's one of the reasons why, in terms of the social sciences, we're not talking about the religious aspect, so to speak. In terms of social sciences, when we look at the creation of human being, you know, and its requirements, we look at the overall majority. We don't look at the exceptions or people who may have any diseases. Okay, when we generalize things, we do not do it based on the exceptions. We do it based on the general rule of thumb. Then, you know, the continuation of lineage. You know, that can only be possible if there are two opposite genders involved in this act. Simple as that. There is no way that two same-sex people or same-gender people can come together and reproduce. That tells us that coming together of two same-sex people to do that particular act is not natural, right? Now, the third point is that any deviation from the natural course, it generates, number one, either a disease, a physical disease, number two, a psychological deviation. Those who indulge in such an act are not complete males. Sometimes, you know, people say that, oh, you know, I'm involved in this act, but, you know, I feel that I'm a male. No, you're not. You're not a complete male. Okay, fine. You are partially a male, but there are things missing in there. Okay, so you're not a complete male. Books dealing with sexually related issues, they mention homosexuality as one of the most dominant of deviations. Okay, continuation of this act of homosexuality, it gradually kills one's sexual inclinations towards the opposite gender. Okay, this is like a curse that comes with this repetition or repeating this act. This is a curse that comes with it. The person indulging in such an act, he tends to develop feminine sentiments. If you have seen like those people who unfortunately have this disease, they, when they act, when they talk, when they move, their body language, their gestures, their, you know, head movement, everything, right? It becomes like women, whereas these are like guys. So because they indulge into this act, slowly they develop those feminine sentiments. Eventually, they come to suffer from an excessive sexual debility, technically referred to as frigidity, such that after a period, he loses the ability to perform natural sex. Okay, they lose that ability to perform a proper natural act of sexual intercourse with the opposite gender. Many lose this ability to procreate. Even, you know, they want to come back to it. Sometimes, you know, they've gotten so far in this act that they lose the ability to reproduce. These individuals are usually psychologically unsound. If you sit down with them and talk to them, you'll find that out. And experiencing a sense of strangeness with respect to own selves and also with respect to the society that they're living in. They're like their own la-la land and they're lost. You talk to them, you don't see that willpower, you don't see that confidence because they gradually lose it. This mental vagrancy, it gradually leads them towards drugs, intoxicants, and other moral deviations, and this is another great calamity. So stay with us while we discuss this disease of homosexuality and how and why it's prohibited in Islam. After the short break, we've got a few more points to cover. Thank you.
Around us is turning upside down. Right is being looked at as though it's wrong, and wrong is being looked at as though it's totally acceptable. In this topsy-turvy world, it's vital that we keep our heads screwed on the right way, even if everybody else has got theirs on the wrong way round. Now, the primary reason for us being against homosexual acts is God's decree. And sometimes we might not know why God has forbidden something, but the teachings of Islam always have wisdoms behind them. Did you know that homosexual acts have a direct link to HIV and AIDS, which has killed millions of people across the world? Statistically, 2% of the US population is gay, yet it accounts for over 60% of HIV infection. In fact, the link between homosexuality and AIDS is such that it was originally known as GRID. That's gay-related immune deficiency. But that's something that the mainstream media will never talk about.
Oh, but they're born that way. Oh, but they can't help it.
It's genetics, right? Dr. John S.H. Tay, in his book Born Gay, examining the scientific evidence for homosexuality, after highlighting the significance of genetic factors, says that the claim by homosexuals that I am born that way, so I cannot change, is simply not true. He also noted that the public's popular belief that gay people can't help but be gay stems from the media's popularization of outdated scientific views of the 1990s on brain structures, twin studies, and the XQ28 gene. In other words, you've been lied to. Again, and even if a guy was born gay and he was attracted to men, does that mean he can't control himself? There's a lot of things that we all want to do, but we have to control ourselves, don't we? So what is it that when it comes to homosexuals, it becomes like, oh, let him. Now let's make one thing very clear. Homosexuality in itself is not a sin, but rather it is the act itself which is forbidden in Islam. So one can have homosexual inclinations, but not succumb to them. For those believers out there who are experiencing homosexual tendencies and are genuinely struggling against those feelings, we will not ostracize you. We will not abandon you. You are as much brethren to us as anyone else. And if the thought of committing homosexual acts still makes you go, "Ugh, that's nasty," then you should be thankful that the system has not yet infiltrated your mind. The next time someone tells you that it's okay to be gay, you'll notice that the basis of their argument is that as long as consenting adults agree to something, it's okay to do.
It's certainly okay to do.
Well, if that's the basis of your argument, then let's say someone wanted to have a sexual relationship with their sister. You'd be like, "Ugh, that's nasty." But what's wrong with it? They're consenting adults, aren't they? Brothers with sisters, mothers with sons, fathers with daughters, it's all okay because they're consenting to it. It's all about the love. Because of this idea that consent between adults makes something okay, does that mean you'll also accept incest?
No! Stop it! As long as they're adult about it and they love each other, I accept them for who they are, okay? Alright?
Wrong! There's something within the human being which tells us right from wrong, but because of continuous insinuations from the media, bombardments from the press, and the passing of same-sex laws, people have chosen to turn a blind eye to their inherent disgust towards homosexuality, to put aside the truth, and to just blindly accept that it's okay to be gay. One thing that we have to be absolutely clear about is it doesn't matter how many people practice something. It doesn't matter how many people support, condone, defend, and impose something. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And let's face it, you don't even need religion to tell you that homosexual acts are indecent. Think about it. Oh, and Islam is not the only religion which is opposed to homosexuality. In fact, have a look at what the Bible says. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Now, in the Holy Quran, it says that Lut was sent to his people and he told them, "Most surely, you come to males in lust instead of females. Nay, you are a transgressing people." In the book Greater Sin, the homosexual act is listed as the 11th greatest sin. It is narrated there that the Holy Prophet said, "One who commits the act of the people of Lut and dies before repenting will also be counted among them," i.e. the people of Lut. And in the end, we all know what happened to the people of Lut.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa ala Habibika.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to The Teacher, and we're discussing a hot topic which is not so important, but unfortunately today, with the Western agenda and those who are the evildoers in the world pushing for this, they have made it very important, especially in the West. So we've been discussing about homosexuality. We talked about some of the social aspects, and before that we talked about the divine aspect of why we don't, as a Muslim, as a committed Muslim, want to get involved in that, and we do not approve of this act. Now, we would like to talk about a couple more points before we let you go. If they do not, these people who get into this act, resolve to mend their ways soon, okay, if they're not eager to address this issue, They refuse to seek any medical help, for instance. They don't want to go see a practitioner. They don't want to go and see a psychologist, despite the need for it. Of course, you know, they know that they need them, but they don't want to do that. And this act transforms itself into a habit for them. It would be extremely difficult for them to abandon it. Okay. Now, how can one cure it? Because there are many people out there who have been victim of this disease, just like many other diseases, right? I mean, sometimes things are not in our control. How can they control it? How can they cure it? They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want it of them. So they want to cure it. Well, brothers and sisters, the first thing is resolution and application. Okay, you resolve, you commit yourself, okay, you promise to yourself, you contemplate about this, you want to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to submit in front of Him, then you know that you need to have that resolution and also followed up with application. So in order for you to keep yourself away from this act, right, you have to be determined that you stay away from those places and areas where you fall endangered to getting into this evil act. Then we're going to finish up this talk today. Oh, another point is see a psychologist. Sometimes it helps, you know. Sometimes they can walk you through a process. They can ask you questions that make you think and ponder about whether you should continue with getting involved in such an act or not. So a psychologist can be a good help. Okay, go see an Islamic scholar. Sometimes they have done some good research on it that they can share with you. Like, for instance, I'm going to share with you a tradition from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, who is the sixth holy Imam. A person he once questioned from Imam, he said, "Why has Allah prohibited sodomy?" The Imam replied, "Had sex with boys been lawful, the men would have become independent of women, causing man's lineage to become terminated and natural heterosexual intercourse to come to an end. And this would have brought about great moral and social evils." So see how the words of the infallible Imams, they guide us towards light. They guide us towards that ultimate guidance. So refer to the text of Islam, talk to the scholars if you are facing this disease, or if you know someone else's, you know, help them out. Help them out, inshallah, to get them cured from this disease. With this, we leave you in Allah's care, and thank you for listening. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.
شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين.